I'm so tempted to leave that in and just start with that.
You know what happens. At this point, the stuff we've said,
anybody be
things
surprised?
I've said personally.
What have you said on the podcast that you regret? Today's
nothing today.
Welcome back to That's Movies, Brother. Today we're going to do a therapy episode.
Therapy
what episode? Do you regret saying on the podcast? Chris?
Oh, I said Hitler wanted to be in my brain last week.
I don't know. I think the culmination of all our bad impressions are probably worse than anything. They're like, they can say anything racist. It's better than the impressions of Donald Trump. I swear.
Whoa. But the bad thing is if you're doing Donald Trump.
That's racist.
Yes, it's both.
It's not racist.
Ah, there it is.
I'm the least racist person you've ever met. You ever watch Jeff Dunham?
Have you seen?
Yes. I asked first.
I'm so sorry. Yes.
There's like a skit he does with Peanut and the Jose Jalapeno on a Stick. And then they're like talking about how Peanut's being racist. He's like, I can't be racist. My mother's Mexican. I'm like, it's so freaking stupid.
Man, now I forgot what I was going to say. Oh,
I don't know.
The video of Donald Trump saying, like,
we are hoping for the best of the people in Puerto Rico.
Have you seen that?
No, but I can imagine him saying that.
It's so good.
It's funny when he just, like, talks about, like, certain things. Like, when he names stuff off that's, like, not normally in his vernacular,
guys,
he gives a pause, and then he says, like, if he says, like, Dominican Republic, that's similar to poker, he'd be like, the Dominican Republic. Nasty place.
Out of all the podcast episodes we've done, can anybody name, or, like, number, give us the number of them that have started with politicians just straight up talking?
And literally, since I've been on here, we've been doing nothing but politician stuff.
Why?
I don't know why.
All right, listen to this.
We are also praying for the people of Puerto Rico.
Oh my gosh, I'm crying.
Puerto Rico.
I can just imagine him. He pauses and then he like looks, tilts his head and like looks up to the sky. Puerto.
The title is Trump attempts to use Spanish accent to pronounce Puerto Rico. We're gonna do this one more time and look at the video. It's not playing.
Awkward.
Here we go.
We are also praying for the people of Puerto Rico.
Why does he breathe so loud?
I don't know. What the heck is wrong with him?
Wait.
We're also praying for the people of Puerto Rico. We love Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico.
He does it three times.
Attaboy.
Puerto Rico. We love Puerto Rico.
What is it with, like, politicians in, like, Spanish? And Hispanic
what?
People, and like either not knowing how to say it or being super like kind of racist. It's like, you remember the thing that Joe Biden did where he like, he like, I don't know what they were doing. I don't know if it was like Cinco de Mayo or like Spanish Heritage Day or something. Like,
wow,
some
you
kind
sounded
of
like him right there.
Yeah, for real.
Spanish Heritage.
True international shout. But he like, he comes up and he's like, I just got one thing to say. And he starts playing Despacito on his phone.
Oh, my God.
He goes, yes.
I just have one thing to say. Hang on here.
Oh, my God. Okay. That's real, dude. Like, that's not edited.
That's the thing is, like, okay, Donald Trump definitely said something stupid, but Joe Biden just straight up makes a meme out of a song. It's like, this represents all Hispanic people. And like,
I just imagine like going to war and he's like trying to get their assistance. And he's like, just, yeah, just blasting that at the top of,
top of his lungs. Hey, remember the time I played that Despacito? That was great.
If you could repay me the favor,
bro,
help us in the war.
Damn.
That's wild, dude. The fact that that's real.
So I need to tell you something happened to me. I'm like a little traumatized and sad, mainly because I've been crying because I'm laughing so hard. But
Puerto Rico.
I almost got into an extremely bad traffic accident.
Oh, I'm glad you didn't.
I think I technically did get into a,
I'd have to find a traffic accident. Honestly, I'm just really glad because it'd be a lot of trouble to try to find a new host. So
yeah. So we live around the Metro Atlanta area, and one thing, like all big cities, Atlanta has an issue with its roads, whether it's potholes or potheads. They're everywhere.
You're going to hit one or the other.
Yeah.
If you're driving around long enough.
But one thing that a lot of people don't talk about is the vast amount of blown leftover.
What? Okay. Sorry.
Let me finish.
It's crazy because
everyone,
you have potholes, but the potheads, sometimes they're blown.
They're blown. No, how many blown semi-truck tires there are just everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was...
You witnessed how they get blown.
No, I've witnessed that, but that's not what happened.
You've witnessed a blowing before?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was loud.
Yeah?
Very loud.
That thing shot across the road, right?
Yeah, I know. The distance it got. I mean, if I had a measuring tape on me, I would have... Anyway.
It was like a rocket, like just like air, you know, out the back, and it took off.
Yeah. The impact.
I'm sorry. What was your story?
So I was doing a lane change, and I was getting out of the way or out from behind like a big like Suburban or SUV. And upon my lane change, the person next to me was like, oh, I'm going to get over too and take up his lane as he's merging, which frustrated me. And I'll tell you why, because as I'm changing my lanes.
Tell me why.
Oh, I'll tell you why.
Oh,
it was the worst. As I get into that lane, all of a sudden, like, there's a... I didn't know getting into that lane because a big-ass SUV in front of me. Mm-hmm. But when I got in, there's a huge, like, almost basically a full tire, semi-truck tire, just in the middle of the highway. And so, you know what? I'm like, oh, crap, I'm going to get back in my original lane.
Yeah.
There's no one there, right? No, wrong. There was someone there.
Nice.
So I immediately had to, like, cross over a lane of traffic to my other, like, to my left. And... I hit the shit out of this tire.
Oh God.
And
is that why you asked me to look at your car?
Yes.
So I got to Mac's house and he was like, "Hey, do me Oh God, you're missing.
I'm missing
the
half
front
of the
right of your car.
I'm basically missing everything from my front passenger tire forward."
Nice.
Still drivable.
I couldn't tell cuz I didn't go outside and actually look at it. But you're like, "Look at my car."
Here's the thing. My car is a piece of crap. I'm literally trying to ride it till the wheels fall off so that I can go buy another car.
Yeah.
I don't want to put any money into it. And so half my bumper got ripped off. The wheel well got ripped off. I got a dent in my fender. Okay, fine. My lights still work. I can still drive the car. My blinkers work. It's great. But now I have a power steering link.
Oh, because of that?
Because of that. Ooh. But jokes on the semi-truck tire. I had one beforehand, too.
You had what?
A power steering leak.
Oh.
So it's like, no harm, no foul, buddy.
Okay. Well, that's a bummer. I just got my car fixed, so now it's running better than ever.
Attaboy.
It has 230,000 miles on it.
I got you beat.
And, yeah, what year is your car?
2005.
Mine's 2012, and I'm catching up on you quick.
You are.
I've never had a major repair on that car until now. Pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Opening up a cold one. What you got there?
I'm drinking Sprite Limonade Legacy.
That sounds really good. I really want to try it.
It's like strawberry lemonade. I'll let you get a... Well, strawberry limonade, I guess.
Nice.
I'll give you a sip. But it says, celebrating 50 years of hip-hop. Because, you know, as everyone knows, I'm about that life.
Yeah, every time I take a sip of Sprite, I go into a weird... state where I just can't help but rapping everything I say.
Exactly.
Let's try it.
It's kind of like the Sprite Cranberry they have with like LeBron James. Or is it LeBron James who does those commercials?
That's really good.
I don't know. Maybe I'm racist.
Aha, that's good, dog. Sorry. Aha, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. This is
You're not rapping. You're just being a hype man.
I'm the background guy.
We the best.
We the best music. DJ Khaled. I'm just the guy in the back who says all the actual artist names.
For real. Usually it's the artist that does it.
Yeah,
that.
But it's me. You just never knew until now. I just
it's
am
Tyler
so good
yelling
at impressions.
Convict music.
It's just we the best.
The Maybach music.
That's me. I'm
That's
just really
just
good
Tyler.
At impressions.
Man.
If Trump ever comes out with a rap song, it's going to be great.
Trump. And Donald Trump. The best music. MAGA.
Oh my God, that's so bad. Okay, anyways, we gotta. That's a bit that's not very good, so we're going to move on.
All right, the last thing I got to say that's been pissing me off lately.
Yeah.
Me and you, we get on these little tangents of sending each other extreme, like, just nonstop memes on Instagram.
Yeah. Percentage-wise, how many of the ones I send you do you actually look at?
All of them.
Do you really?
Hell yeah, I look at them. They're because they're freaking hilarious.
Friend. I'm sorry, I'm a bad friend. Dude. I do not look at all of them.
Dude, it's because I send you
I need
way
to catch
too many.
Up. I need to catch up.
It's because all the ones that you send are so good that I'm just like, I need to send this to my buddy.
Prime.
No, there's this guy who I see his shorts on YouTube a lot. And then I also see him like when I get down the rabbit hole on Instagram. I don't know if I should say his YouTube name. He's probably never going to find out, but it's just like reaction channels that are just bullcrap fake reactions to things.
Okay.
It's like, you're obviously not reacting to this in real time. You've probably already watched it. They're like watching a guy like back his car into I'm just using a random example. This isn't a real thing. Into like a
person. Truck tire that was in the middle of a lane.
Say backing into a fire hydrant.
That guy's an idiot.
It's like they're backing their truck into a fire hydrant and the fire hydrant just explodes with water. He'll be watching and he'll be like, oh, what is he doing in that car? This is so weird. Oh, what is he doing? Is he going to hit that fire hydrant? Oh, he's hitting that fire hydrant.
Yeah, I hate those
videos.
Wow.
Stay tuned for more. Subscribe.
And you watch this guy?
No. I'm saying I've gotten so many of those. The newest one I've gotten is by, I got to just say it because this guy needs to be sent down a couple notches, you know.
You say put down?
Sent down.
Did you say this guy needs to be shot? Is that what you just
said? No. Don't.
I thought you didn't own guns.
No, I don't. There's this guy, his name's Superhero in Training, is his YouTube page. It absolutely sucks, because literally all he does is do, like, compilations of just people doing interesting or cool, like, uncommon tricks on a skateboard. And then it plays a video, then it cuts to his face, and his face is just like, and then he plays in the next one.
I think
one.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Young, like, he looks like an 18-year-old black dude.
I think I know exactly. Is it? Thinking of a white guy who does it.
But he just looks at the camera with like The Rock, like raising an eyebrow going.
Yeah, there's a few people that do that.
And it's like, he plays the same like weird dubstep track behind every video. And I'm like, you gotta stop.
Well, you're talking about him.
I am. Go unsubscribe, everyone, to this guy. But great. It's just like, but you're right. I'm talking about him. And I see him so much that it's given him views. He's beating the system.
We got to do that. How do we do that?
Well, I will say this. YouTube does a thing where I don't know if it's they won't give you the play buttons or they won't give you certain type of monetization if you're just doing reaction or posting memes. So, at least he ain't getting paid.
He has to be getting paid.
He's got
to
be getting paid.
There's no way he's doing that and not getting paid.
I know.
Because if I was getting paid, I'd do it.
Looks like he's got a good setup, so probably.
Just kidding. So, I have an interesting thing that happened to me. I went to a party. I got invited to a party of this acting coach. Not my acting coach, but I got invited. And I didn't know, like, anybody there. But this night, I met some new people, met some friends. You know, it was cool. But I showed up not knowing anybody. And I was, like, in a really weird mood where I was, like, I showed up, met the guy, the coach or whatever. And I was, like, I'm not in a mood to be, like, outgoing right now.
You're introverted.
I just want to go home. But I stayed. So from that to me at the end of the night
high.
At like midnight, I did karaoke AC/DC's Thunderstruck with some random 50-year-old man I didn't know.
Thunder.
with some 50-year-old man you don't
yes,
know.
Yes, sir. That's how my
weekend
went.
This is
like
how the hangover started.
It was the very opposite of how I thought my weekend was going to go. Oh, yeah, meeting some random 50. I didn't even know him until we went up, and he's like, someone was talking about, oh, you got to do it. And he's like, I don't want to do it alone. I said, I got you, fine gentleman. I will do it with you.
Now you're like best friends.
And it
this
was
great.
Horrific, dude.
Was he good?
I've been in so. No.
In the hallway.
I don't think
and
you
I
under.
Knew there was no. Anyway.
But it's going like. Like it's all high notes. All,
yeah, yeah.
The whole song.
Destroying
so
your voice.
I didn't bring it down a couple octaves. No, we tried to sing it there. So it was.
And I knew there was no turning.
Yes.
Dude, you're already doing better than I did. Look, I've been in a couple musicals, okay? I think that I can sing. I hope so. It's weird because, like, acting, if I was on stage doing something, like, I can act, I can perform, that's fine. But if someone just looks at me and goes, oh, it says sing me a song. Absolutely not, dog. No, nice. Sir. No, thank you. It's something about singing like that. But, like, karaoke when everyone else is just doing it, I was like, oh, this will be fun. But my point is, I think I'm a pretty all right singer. So I ended
you're
up
in
singing.
A band, right?
You played
at the bar.
I did.
Played the
Cajon, brother.
Oh, I thought you played the pins.
I did. That's a long story. I played the pencils.
The pencils.
And then the Cajon. I nice. Could keep a beat. Put anything in my hand, I can.
The Cajon.
Was going to say something that I shouldn't have said. Put anything in my hand, I can beat it.
Dude, that's great.
I can keep
I was
a beat.
I was in a band once for about like a week. I was in high school, and we were going to do the talent show, and we were like, man, we really like playing together. Let's, like, start doing something. Yeah. We never did anything.
Nice, nice, nice.
I went to his house and played on his drums, and he'd come to my house and play on the guitar at my house. And
nice.
It was great.
But, yeah, I think I'm an all right singer, but there are I know what I can and I can't sing. Thunderstruck is not one of the things I can sing. But I did bond with this guy. Went back to his place afterwards. And, no, I'm just kidding.
Whoa. Whoa.
No, I met a bro, though, that night. We were brotherly bonded, dude.
He was, like, sniffing you the whole night.
It was Joe.
Man.
Joe Biden singing Thunderstruck.
Thunder.
Dude, okay, so I told you about the AI voice thing that they got now, right? They can just, like, take a song by some artist and then say, AI sung by this different artist.
Okay.
And they've got, like, Kanye West singing like Boston and Journey songs.
Okay.
I'm going to go get Joe Biden singing Thunderstruck by AC/DC.
Oh my God.
This is going to be great.
That's great. That's so good. But yeah, that's how my weekend went. It was a good time.
That's cool.
It's a good time.
Do you meet anybody else there?
I did three songs. The first two songs I did with a girl.
All you did was sing at this place.
No, that was only the last like hour and a half I was there.
After like the fifth, sixth drink.
No, I only had three White Claws. That's it.
Three teens.
So I was fine. Right. I was totally fine, but like just wanted to embarrass myself in front of everybody.
Hey, you got to put yourself out there.
So, but yeah, the first one, I sang two songs because there was this girl and she was like, well, I want to sing, but I don't want to do it alone. I was like, I got you. And we were going to sing Escape, the Pina Colada song.
Nice.
And we agreed on that. But before we agreed on that, we were talking about songs, and someone brought up Grease, and I was like, well, I was Danny Zuko in high school for
the
Grease.
Zook.
But I was like, yeah, I don't know if I want to bring that back. So we get up there, and somehow it got changed. Like, oh, yeah, let's do Grease. And I was like, oh, what?
Did you end it with, like, sticking your finger up in the air and doing that weird-ass
I
pose
tried to
he
do
does
that.
On the bleachers?
That's literally the song we sang, too.
Summer night!
We sang that. And then me and her went back up and we actually did the Pina Colada song.
Okay,
that one was good. That was the best one of the night.
Did you get her
sure.
digits?
No.
Dude, why are you even there? go hang out with that old guy.
I'm just going to hang out with my old friend.
Thanks, new dad.
Mr. Thunder, that's his name in my brain, in my mind. Mr. Thunder.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so that was fun. I've known you for a long time. I've known Nate for a long time. I've never sang karaoke with any of my friends, and I'm closer to this old man than I am you guys.
Okay, so you want to know something really weird about me and karaoke?
Yeah.
And I don't know if I've said this before, but I will only ever sing one song.
Yeah, I was going to ask what your karaoke go-to song is.
I only have ever done one song, and this is literally since I was like 12.
Sweet Home Alabama.
Hell no. who does that song? Gosh, who does it? It's Kryptonite by Three Doors Down. Is it Three Doors Down? Yeah.
Give us a little taste.
No. Come on. You gotta give me a little prompter.
Come on. This is your prompter.
No.
Oh, like a prompter to read the words because
you don't know
the words?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's embarrassing. I would sing it with you, but I can't remember how it starts.
Doom.
You're not helping me here.
Okay.
How's the chorus go?
Your secrets I will keep. I never thought of all the times you never let me down.
Why is this not bringing a bell at all? I know the song.
I'll be your Superman. Kryptonite.
Oh, yeah.
Kryptonite.
Okay, so that was fun.
If I go crazy, then will you still?
Okay.
All right, Superman.
Bro, you haven't had any alcohol.
Bro, you don't know that. I might have been doing a little.
You could have spiked that.
Might have hung out with one of those little potheads I almost hit on the way here.
I want to
blew me away.
I want to quickly talk about something that I talked about like a month ago, 2 months ago. And I couldn't really talk about it because legally I don't think I was allowed to. I've never shared my Chicago PD stories.
This is true.
In fact, there's still stories I haven't told you.
Yeah, because you told me some stuff off camera.
I don't remember.
Off mic.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Yes. Off radio.
Off cast.
Yeah, so I was on an episode of Chicago PD, which was pretty dope.
Chicago.
Chiquags. And it wasn't a huge role. I had 3 words.
Did you put in a little, like, you know, accent from, like, you're from Chicago?
No. No one on set talked like that.
No one from the north?
No.
Get the fuck out of here.
You are not in Chicago anymore.
I don't know.
You get out of here. I'm walking here.
Yeah, it's a little more Boston.
But yeah, it was cool. I had 3 lines. I played a police boy. Well,
police
man.
Boy?
Police man.
I'm a policeman.
And I went in let's start from the beginning of the day. So like I went, shout out to the set of Chicago PD, the crew of Chicago PD, because of NBC. Thank you NBC for having me.
It's Do you even know what NBC first, stands for?
Nothing but
Gucci. Nothing but cakes. Like that store, nothing but cakes.
Nothing but cakes.
I think it's National Broadcasting Channel or something like that.
I like nothing but
cheese.
Koala bears. That starts
That's
with a K.
K.
I was just saying the first thing start with a K.
Nothing but. I don't know. You're making this really hard for me.
I know.
Crackheads.
Coconut shrimp.
Nothing
every
but Kool-Aid.
Single show.
Oh, wait, that's K2.
Every single. Can you imagine like Rick and Morty, but everyone's coconut shrimp?
That's probably already a thing.
Or like Chicago PD, but everyone's coconut shrimp.
I fucking hate coconut shrimp. Anyway.
We found...
I don't know about
we
this,
found,
Rick.
We found
everyone's
the...
coconut shrimp.
And I hate seafood.
We went from like Morty to like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. Yeah,
like Scoob.
Like Zoinks, everyone's shrimp. I don't know whether to eat them or if they're going to eat me.
I've had too many Scooby snacks, Scoob.
Oh,
we
gosh.
Got the shrimpy snacks. Oh, God. Chicago PD, everyone's shrimp. We found the perpetrator. He committed suicide. Jumped into the incinerator. You could say that he was overcooked. Yeah!
Yes, I'm glad we all know about Horatio Sims.
Oh God!
You ever watch that show?
No.
It's actually, okay, I'll say about all these cop shows, like, they all start to blend together, but I swear, CSI Miami is pretty dang good.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to get a shit on for that, but...
So...
Sorry, Nate.
So, I was on... I was going to say Chicago Shrimp PD.
Oh, I just got Sprite Lemonade Legacy all over my face.
So, I was on Chicago Shrimp, and shout out to NBC, because all the other sets I've been to and have been on, if you have everybody on set for a certain amount of hours, you have to have a lunch break. So, providing one meal is usually common. And that's usually the middle of the day. So I was like, I'm going to eat breakfast before I go. I'd wake up super early, like 5 in the morning or something crazy, to go to be on set. And I stopped by somewhere, Starbucks or whatever, got a breakfast sandwich, coffee, yeah, whatever. And I was full. Get to set. Yo, they have 4 tents set up by all the trailers. And they are 4 tents set up, each with its own chef. And you get anything you want for breakfast. Name it.
Bro, what, French what do you toast. Want?
Yes. I don't know if they had that.
Cap'n Crunch.
No. Okay. They had...
Asiago cheese
you
bagels.
Get, you get pancakes, eggs, bacon, breakfast burritos.
Waffle House.
Almost pretty much anything you can think of for breakfast. I think they might have had French toast, actually. I pretty much it. Anything you could have. And they were cooking it right there. And I'm like, dude,
okay,
this
the fact
is amazing.
That, the fact they're cooking it right... Like, I could see them having a shitload of options.
No, they're cooking. There's
see
like,
them,
they all have like a flat top.
But I could see them having like... You know, it's like regular catering where it's kind of like all kind of half-assed. But
no,
the fact that they have
incredible.
Like chefs there.
And it was
holy
so
crap.
Dude,
get
it
a
was
nice
so
croissant.
Good. Croissant. So I got a second breakfast.
Bro, nice.
And I was so full, but I was, oh, dude, I was like, I have to live it up. I went to my trailer. It was the first time I got a trailer. That was pretty cool.
Who's the, what's the name of the person who like wrangles all the extras and stuff?
PA.
The PA is probably like, why is our police boy like fat now?
Excuse me. Why is fucking shrimp boy 230 pounds?
he's like waddling. I don't. Why police don't do that? I'm sorry. I'm full.
Ah. So yeah. So went to my trailer, shoved my face full of a breakfast burrito, and then like had to go to hair and makeup and stuff. And, yeah, it was whatever. It was pretty cool. First, like, experience on, like, an actual TV show. We get shuttled to set because where they're, like, holding all the talent and all that kind of stuff is, like, called home base where they have all the trailers, all the catering, all that kind of stuff. And then on set was, like, a 2-minute car ride away. And the scene that I was in, basically they find, and this is spoilers, guys, is the final finale of Chicago PD. They are chasing down this bad guy, and they have a couple ideas of where he is, and they have 2 different tactical teams in 2 areas looking for him. One of the places I'm at, so basically during the episode is like shifting back and forth between the 2 teams. One's like in a building in downtown, and one is on a farm, and I'm on this farm, like the house. With
where was this
barns
out at
stuff.
Anyway?
The suburbs of Chicago. So
okay,
I don't know. And so there's like a house. There's a bunch of like buildings and like farm. Land and stuff, and there's like 12 of us, all like cops and stuff. All of them were extras except for the main actor. His name is Leroyce,
yeah,
Hawkins, I believe.
Tall, bald dude.
He's not bald.
Who am
I
thinking of?
The I don't know.
I'm thinking of a different cop.
Leroyce Hawkins is what is his name? Kevin, I think, on the show.
I don't know. I don't like I said, CSI Miami is the only one I watch, and Bones.
But we basically, so it's him, and then, so when we're all charging through the fields or whatever, we all split up into smaller teams to go into different buildings. And the roles that actually had lines had to be auditioned for, so mine and another police officer who's also in the team that splits off with Kevin, the main guy.
Police girl.
Yes, so it was me, and then her, and then the main actor, and we
I just guessed,
split off
I can't
and,
believe I got that, wow.
Yeah. We go into this building, and I'm carrying a battering ram, so I get to smash down this door.
Was it a real one?
Yeah. Well, there was a real one, and there was a prop one. At first, they gave me a real one. I did a couple takes. Like, here's the prop one. Looks exactly the same, and it's like 100 pounds lighter.
Yeah.
And so I'm like running through the field with it or whatever.
Dude.
It's not 100 pounds lighter.
That's
but
that's like the cool. One thing that like I would have loved to have like after like doing my education through sculpture and stuff, my getting my art degree, is like props. I learned the whole process of like how to make props,
yeah,
and doing all this stuff and molds and stuff. I know I can't do another
job
change.
Stop giving up on stuff, man.
I just can't do another job change. I've had like 3 in the past 5 years. I'm not.
You can if you didn't have a kid.
Yeah,
stupid kid. No,
I know. I'm gonna put this kid back where he came from.
We're gonna move on from that. So put that thing back where it came from. More so, help me. So help me. You know what that's from?
I have no idea.
Monsters Inc.
Oh gosh.
When they find Boo. And then they're like,
right.
Put that thing back where it came from, so help me. It's a new musical we're working on. And they go off. Anyways.
I've seen that movie literally maybe twice. Once, probably.
Twice, once. Never.
Once,
I've never
maybe.
Seen it.
I don't know.
There's monsters.
That's a movie?
Finding Nemo? Is he in there? But, yeah. So I got the battering ram. And I actually got to, like, batter a door. Threw pancake batter all over it.
Baby batter.
So I got to smash down this door, which is pretty cool. And then we go and we clear out the building.
How heavy do you think the actual battering ram? Well, last question about the battering ram, and then we can move on. You think it was like what? Like 50
you have
pounds?
Questions about how I ram
with a battery?
ow. So,
how heavy was the battering ram? What do you think? Like 50 pounds?
Yeah, probably.
I'm just trying to think. What do you need to knock down a door? I don't know.
Yeah, the momentum. Yeah, it was probably about that. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm smart.
And we go in. I say my first line. We all draw our guns. I say my first line. My first line is, hold on.
Get on the ground and spread your cheeks.
Get that shrimp ass on the ground. You chilled, dipped in marinara having piece of shrimp, dog. I prefer mine grilled with a little bit of garlic butter. That's just me.
I like them not on my plate.
You don't like shrimp?
Not really. I'll eat them if it's popcorn, if it's fried. I will eat tempura rolls. You know, shrimp tempura roll. Doesn't taste like shrimp. I don't taste the shrimp in it.
So my first line, I walk in and I say... Clear.
Just like with that cadence, clear.
Clear.
Like RoboCop.
Clear.
Clear.
The room is clear. And then we all kind of like walk together with our guns drawn. And then I go to the back of the room and I say, clear.
Clear.
Just so you know.
Like you got a damn stoma with a little like mech thing vibrant. Clear.
Or the shriveled up freaking worm from SpongeBob.
What are they selling? Chocolates.
Clear.
Clear.
Clear. I'm working on the force for 15 years.
Dude, right? You just did that, looked up, and got kind of cross-eyed when you did that.
Clear.
Clear.
It's because your neck
straining.
Disappeared, dude.
It's because I was straining so bad.
But, yeah, in the script, I only had one line. It was the word clear. So they gave me a second clear. Then the guy does some talking. He finds the plans of the bad guy in the little building, and we find C4 in the building, and we're like, all right, search everything. Then he sees this blinking red light, and he's like, oh, God, the C4 is primed. So he looks at us, and he goes, oh, God, we got to get out of here. Go, go, go. And we sprint out the door, and yeah, and then the building explodes. And kind of blew us all down onto the ground.
So do you have to do like a fake like jump thing?
No.
Yeah.
As it explodes.
Slow-mo.
No, I have a funny story about... Did I tell you the story about my stunt double?
You had a stunt double?
Okay, we'll get there. So,
bro, Tyler Gillette has a stunt double?
So hold on. We'll get there. So we... So the building explodes or whatever. We're on the ground and there's like a fiery building behind us. And then the main actor kind of like... Jolt's awake and he's looking around like dazed and confused. And then he looks over at me and he goes, you good? And I go, oh, yeah. Those are my three lines.
Yeah.
Those are my three lines,
like
baby.
Like a kid taking a dump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But dude, that building explosion was.
Was it loud?
They exploded it for real. It was very loud. Yeah. It was. And it was a
and
surprise.
And you only had
too.
One take.
Yeah. It was a surprise part. Because. We thought they were going to do a countdown. They said you know, everyone had to get clear in all of the buildings and stuff, and they made sure everything was safe. And we thought they'd do an out loud countdown. But they only did the countdown on the radios to the like stunt team, the explosive team, whatever. So like we didn't hear it, and all of a sudden out of nowhere, we're like all waiting, staring at the building, waiting because we knew the explosives were hot. And we thought we'd hear a countdown, and all of a sudden, boom, and it's like exploding.
And then you guys just fell.
Well, I wasn't in the shot when it fell.
Oh, okay.
No one was in the
shot. I thought they were like, they didn't tell you that this was the shot.
No. They had to clear everybody away from the building for that. So,
okay. Did they at least do like a big announcement on a...
Actually, I kind of spoiled a little bit. So let me get to this part. So the night before, I get my call sheet, and the call sheet, you know, has the list of the actors and who they're playing. I see my name. It says Tactical Number 4. I don't have a name. I'm gonna dub him Shrimp Boy. So Tyler Gillette, Shrimp Boy, and I go down, and there's another name, and next to it says Shrimp Boy Stunt Double. It says Tactical 4 Stunt Double, like, that's interesting. There's no other stunt doubles on the list on the call sheet, just for me. So we get there. I meet my stunt double. They did a good job. Looks enough like me that like from far
away.
That's
crazy. So they had to go through the whole process of looking at your headshots, looking how you're going to be for this role, and then trying to find a guy who looks similarly enough
for three words.
For three words.
Here's what's crazier. So my stunt double.
He's black.
The amount of enthusiasm in your voice. Here's what's crazier. He's black.
I was just trying to think of the most outlandish, impossible thing that could have happened.
Oh, my God.
And, he, and he's blind.
He's all the bees. Black, blind, and...
Blown up now.
So, no. I see my stunt double, whatever. We get to set, and the building's going to explode, and we have to run out of it, okay?
I'm trying not to laugh about the black thing still.
So we go, we do the scene where I, like, smash the door down, and then right after that, we do the building explosion. Where we filmed inside the building was actually a building next to it.
Oh, okay,
so it was a separate building, because we needed to explode the building, and then we had to spend however many hours filming inside, while the demolition crew made sure it was safe because they have this whole procedure they have to make sure it's safe for anyone to get close to. So they had to kind of clean it up. I mean, it was still explosion and had to have stuff laying everywhere for the actual shot. So it's, you know, still like first half of the day. And my thought is, okay, there's a stunt double. The night before, I was like, I have a stunt double. Usually, if they know, you know, they read my resume, they know I've taken stunt classes, I've done a little bit of stunt stuff and can do American Ninja Warrior. If it's nothing big, usually you can ask, like, hey, do you mind if I try this stunt? If it's nothing crazy that's, like, going to seriously injure someone, right? Talking to one of the other stunt guys, and they're like, yeah, the reason they probably can't have the actors around it is because it's explosives, like, live explosives.
Right.
And I was like, that makes sense. That's probably a liability. Like, I won't even ask because I get why. That has nothing to do with my stunt abilities necessarily. It's just legally they're not allowed to is what I was told. So I was like, okay. They call my stunt double over. I didn't see him on the call sheet, but they called Leroyce's stunt double over as well. The girl didn't have a stunt double. Don't know if they I don't know what happened, but if they just didn't show up, the girl, they called her, the actual actress over there, and was like, all right, we're going to run through some rehearsals. Literally, it was them running out of the door of the building and running in like different directions.
Really?
And so I was like, they're doing rehearsals. They're going to actually like explode this building, and they're going to be running away from it. And I get, and I was like, oh man, but she's out there. I can be out there. I was like, who do I ask? Like, who do I talk to? Like, you know, not to flame my stunt double here. This sucks. This is a bummer. I feel bad for him.
Did they fire him?
Yeah.
Damn.
They said, you're too white. No. no. He ran from, during like one of the rehearsals, he ran from the building. 30, 40 feet, maybe. That's all they were doing. And then he walks back holding his leg, kind of limping. And they do another run. He walks back again, limping even harder. Him and the director start talking. And I was like, something happened to him. And then he was like, and then the director out of nowhere goes, Tyler, you're in. Get over here. And I'm like, let's go. I felt bad for him.
Big boys.
So apparently he pulled a quad.
That's, wow.
Yeah.
pulled a quad running.
I guess, or maybe he had done it before doing something else and didn't
realize. It might be a pre-existing condition.
Yeah. So I got to go in and they were telling me where to run. So they're like, all right, we're going to do one more, whatever. And I was like, okay, cool. Like one more before the real thing. So I sprint 30 feet. I'm like, all right, hell yeah. Let's get this building exploded behind me.
And then you pulled your quad.
And we walk back and they go, all right, that's a wrap. Everybody move cameras and everything and clear the area so we can blow up the building. And I'm like, so the people aren't in the shot when we explode the building. Oh, no, no. No one's going to be around the building when it blows up. And I'm like, why did you hire a stunt double?
Did you really ask him that?
To run 30 feet. I didn't, but I was very confused.
Okay, I was about to say, I was like, I feel like that would be a question that if you did ask it, they'd be like, you're never working in this
legally
fucking
industry.
Legally,
we have to.
You're never working in this industry.
Yeah, I was like, I was just very confused. I was like,
I'd be curious too.
Why did, and my thought was, because the explosives were set, they weren't like triggered, they weren't live, but they were set.
Yeah.
That they still legally had to. But I was like, the girls here.
Maybe it might have been a thing where like they didn't know exactly what kind of shot they want to do.
Yeah.
And because there's a lot of stuff done in the moment.
But I was like, what the heck? So I thought they were all rehearsals, but they were filming at least a couple with the stunt double and they filmed the one with me. And the camera's like kind of up, kind of behind the shed. So like you can't. If you aren't, you don't know if they used the shot with the stunt double, you wouldn't really been able to tell. You know what I mean? Unless you knew what you were looking for. So I watched the episode. They used the one with the stunt double.
Dang.
And I was like, that's obvious? Not me. To me, it was because I know what I'm looking for, but no one else noticed.
That's crazy. But it's nice to know that you do your own stunts. That's cool.
Yeah. Where's my stunt bump at?
For real.
You paid that stunt
dude,
fee as well.
That's crazy. I'm like, you do. But you said you do have that on your resume.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I don't know why they. I mean, precaution.
Yeah,
who knows?
Yeah. But what's crazy is I'm like, wait, you had someone for that, but like the shot that where in the building, the shot when we're running out of the building that we had to film from the inside, like towards the end of the day, we're sprinting through the building where there's actually things in the building, and the building that we used had like the door. Weirdly enough, the door frame was raised like at least 6 inches to like half a foot. There was a good bit of like whatever that we had to clear,
like step
the
over.
Door frame. Yeah, but that's we're weird. Sprinting, so we had to run, throw the door open, and jump through a door, like through one, because we had to jump over and through it.
Boing.
Didn't need a stunt double for that. I'm like, that was harder than running 30 feet. Like,
that's
it was just weird.
That's weird, just like how kind of like the weird things that happen on a set.
Yeah,
I mean, I've found weird things that happen when we are shooting the Duff,
extras,
and then.
Yeah.
That's even weirder, though, what you just did.
It was crazy.
I mean, whatever. They get paid all the big bucks, so they can make
I did what I had to do, and it was a good time. I don't know if I have many. Oh, I do have another story real quick, and then we'll move on. But I did become friends with the girl who was our PA, because there's PAs on set. If you don't know what that means, it's production assistant. They're like, there's a lot of different PAs who do a lot of different things, but there's always PAs assigned to actors. So there was a specific PA assigned to the main actor. He had his own. And then there was a PA that was assigned to me and the other girl, like who took care of the both of us. She was super nice. And we became friends. And the three of us were all kind of like hanging out, the other actress and then the PA. And like halfway through the day, they were talking about, they're like, yeah, there's going to be a rap party. Because it's the last episode of the season. So they do a season rap party. And they're like, yeah, it's tomorrow. They're like, you should come. And I'm like, I've only been in one episode. I have three lines. Like, yeah, but there's some other people who are extras that are showing up, apparently.
I'm
people
gonna
who
come.
And other people who have, like, small parts or stuff that are coming. So they invited me, and I said, I'm going to come.
yes.
I was supposed to drive home the next day because I drove up to Chicago for this. But I was like, dude, opportunity to meet some people, hang out. And that night was interesting. They rented out like a whole restaurant bar and all that stuff. So we went, then there was like an after party at another bar that we all, cause that bar closed. So a group of people walked to this other bar. That bar was closed. No, we Ubered there. That bar was closed. So then we had to walk somewhere else. I ended up at the house of one of the main guys who does the sound, the audio.
Oh, cool.
For the show, like on set.
Wow.
So, yeah, he had a house and it was close because I guess that we were kind of like downtown Chicago area.
That's nuts.
And we all hung out there, and he had like a whole rooftop section where you could see the skyline of Chicago. Just a random story, like have so many random things from that night. That was pretty wild. But
that's cool, dude.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun going out there and filming that.
Yeah.
You still haven't seen it.
Nope.
How dare you?
I'm sure you recorded it, right?
No, but it's on Peacock.
I don't have that.
Okay.
Have you seen all the, since HBO Max kind of shortened their name, all the memes that are coming after that?
No.
So it's like HBO Max went to Max, and like they're talking about Netflix is going to go to Flix. And they're all like, all right, Peacock,
you go next. Like, you guys are putting a lot of pressure on me here for this. We're a good 45 minutes in.
Yes.
So we're going to try to keep today under an hour and a half. It's okay. This is fun. I like to just like chill.
No,
chill,
yeah, dude. It's cool to talk about.
And it was movie related. Cool, I just talked stuff about, you know, film related. But today we're going to talk about a topic. It's a topic based episode. And we're going to be talking about protagonists, heroes, yep, protagonists, some of our favorite protagonists in movies. Or film, TV, whatever, and what we think makes a good protagonist. That's what we're going to do today. I'm excited to get into it. Who wants to start?
I mean, I can go first. We both talked about, we were originally going to do protagonist and antagonist. We decided we'll save antagonist for another podcast, which is totally cool with me. And we decide we're going to do two, right? Or we'll just do a few.
Yeah, the problem is...
Or just talk about it, whatever.
Yeah, the problem
really is
I'll probably try to narrow down what some of my favorites are. But the same thing with movies. Like, I like a lot of movies for a lot of different reasons that make me feel different things, make me feel different ways.
Yeah.
And, like, so it's hard for me to pick a favorite movie.
Yeah.
I don't always like when people are like, what's your favorite blank? Like... I know some specific people that might be listening to this podcast that might have an issue with what I'm about to say. Look, if you like having favorites, good for you. But for me, like when people are like, what's your favorite color? I'm like, dude, I don't know the last time I thought about that. I like a lot of colors. You know what I mean? Like, why do I have to waste my time thinking of my favorite when I can just enjoy what I'm given?
Hey.
Fair? Touche?
No, makes sense.
And I feel that way with movies. So it's going to be the same way. With also, the protagonist.
Also, I think me and you both found this kind of hard because... Sorry, excuse me.
Oh, my.
Oh, goodness. Oh, gosh.
Too much Sprite.
I feel like Badlands chugs. I'm going to chug the world.
Shout out Badlands Chugs.
Shout out
Badlands. If you've never seen his YouTube channel, go to Badlands Chugs.
He's the first guy. He's the one who turned me onto the Sprite
Dude,
lemonade.
I need you to send
legacy.
Me that video that you showed me of
the
Badlands.
POV for...
Dude, that
of the
I start, I, my God, dude, I can't even speak. It's so mind blowing. Right. I have not laughed that
is
hard.
Is it his or the one ever. That the guy's reacting to it?
It's that one, but it's a mix of both. It's all of it that makes
okay,
it
okay.
great.
Shout out to Djibouti Dubs, Djibouti Studios on YouTube. These guys are absolutely hilarious. They mainly do a dub channel and a gaming channel. They're on Twitch. You can check them out. They're never going to shout me out, but that's okay.
They're awesome. This is the first time
they do a reaction to Badlands chugging with a POV shot of a 2-liter going down his gullet, and it is one of the funniest things
I've ever seen in my entire life.
And like, he's chugging, and he finishes this Sprite or whatever it was, and then he's about to do his big ah. But when he does that, there's a kickback, and it like starts to come out, and then it's like, oh, and he catches it.
It's not funny when you try to explain it, and I've never linked someone else's content before. I look in the description of this podcast. If I can find it, I'm going
to
link that video.
I'll give it to you.
Because it's so much joy. Whoever's listening to this has to go watch it. It's so funny.
Anyways.
Where did we go with that?
I don't know. We were talking about... What were we talking about?
You said it's hard for us because...
What's hard for us?
picking the protagonists.
Okay, anyways, it was hard for us picking these protagonists for me because I see a lot of movies that are really good movies, but the protagonist in it isn't the good part of the movie.
That's so weird.
It's the things that happen throughout the journey, like the world that they're in. Like an honorable mention for me is Marty McFly. If you think about it, Marty McFly does not have a personal journey in those movies necessarily.
Not like a crazy one, right?
He has a little bit of one where he's like don't call me chicken, and he has to get over that, and then, but really, it's just like,
it's more of the events happening around
him. It's more of like, oh crap, I accidentally made my mom fall in love with me. Gross.
Weird.
But
classic summer problem.
By the way, did you know the only reason why Disney didn't pick up that movie and Universal did was because they're like, we don't want to promote incest.
Fair.
Weird, right?
Fair.
Sorry, weird fact. I had to throw that out there. But there's all those things happening around him, and the adventure he goes on is cool. It's not necessarily him like facing an inner demon necessarily, but
right.
Which is why I would love to say Marty McFly, but I'm not going to do that. So I guess an honorable mention to them.
Yeah.
To that. An honorable mention also, in this is the only animated one I'll probably throw out there, is Woody and Toy Story, like 1 and 2 and stuff.
Dude, Woody and Toy Story is a horrible character. In the first one, for most of the movie.
Yeah, he is literally the worst toy in that.
But as far as character development goes, yeah, I think you might be right. Over the span of the 4 Toy Story movies we have, his journey is pretty awesome.
Even if you just take the first one.
I love Toy Story.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And even if you just take the first one, he goes from a guy who's literally willing to commit almost
murder
almost, toy murder.
Dude, he said he was going to push Buzz in between the desk and the wall and leave him there forever.
Yeah.
And they don't just die. When do toys die? When they basically like ripped apart, I guess. But like, if they're just left somewhere, they're probably gonna live forever ish.
Yeah, I mean,
so he's just leaving him to be tortured for
under Sid's bed. There's these Frankenstein toys. Well, it's like they've been taken apart and glued back together and stuff. And it's like
the only way they can die is if they get completely incinerated, like they almost did in Toy Story 3. Yeah,
that's sad.
But yeah, Woody, dude, Woody was rough in that first one.
Okay, so if I'm going to throw one out there.
Okay, let's start with, should we start with superheroes? Get that out of the way.
Okay, yeah. Because
so look, we love superheroes. You guys know this. So I have to mention a superhero if I'm talking about my favorite characters or protagonists or whatever. So we each decided we're going to do at least one superhero and one non-superhero. We'll probably talk about more than one, especially in the non-superhero, but like, the goal was pick one of each, but I have a lot that I'll probably
on. Are we going to be picking these characters of their throughout the... Because we're sticking to MCU, right?
Look, we are trying to discover... No, not necessarily. Any superhero.
But like, say, we love superheroes. Okay, I know. But like, say we say a character from the MCU. Are we taking their entire MCU journey? Because there's a good chance they're going to be in like 5 movies, 6 movies.
Yeah, you can. That's fine.
Are we going to just take them from that one movie?
You can, but also you have to also keep in mind with superheroes, like they have backstories. So like if you say Batman, you don't have to say Christian Bale's Batman. You can if you want to be that specific, but you could also just say Batman is my favorite hero / protagonist.
Yeah, I'm probably going to keep it to like someone who's not had multiple portrayals of them.
Yeah. But yeah, so the goal of this is, me and Nate a while ago, this is a really fun episode that we did to kind of like uncover and kind of discover the answer to a question, right? Which was when me and Nate did, what makes a good sequel? That was a really fun episode we did. This is kind of the same thing as, what makes a good protagonist? I kind of want to try to figure that out as we go. I think it'd be interesting.
Yeah, okay. You want to go first? I'll go first.
I'll go first. Superhero.
Mine's kind of a weird one, and I'm kind of doing it just to be like a hipster, I guess. Okay. I don't know.
I have to guess this. It's MCU.
Okay, it's MCU.
MCU.
I'm not going to say like what kind of powers he has or whatever.
And you said
I'm gonna
not
say,
many portrayals.
Star-Lord. No, let me say this. I'm going to get like crapped on because a lot of people are going to be like, this guy sucks.
Oh. Guy. I was going to say sucks. Captain Marvel.
I said guy.
I know. What characters right now? This is gonna sound really bad. This is gonna sound really bad, but like the only ones that come to my mind as far as like horrible. Oh, Thor?
No.
Because the only like
I'll
Thor
give you one
was,
hint.
Thor was not great, but like the really bad stuff that I feel like has come out is like She-Hulk, Captain Marvel. So like you're saying guy and all the
No, that's a dude. Honestly, one of my favorites right now, like after this whole journey has happened of the MCU, has honestly one of the ones I like the most is kind of Hawkeye.
Is that who you're gonna say?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Literally for this reason, he is in a world of super geniuses, super powered humans,
yeah,
super powered gods,
yeah,
all these things like autonomous robots that can phase through walls. Like, and he's got a freaking bow and arrow.
You're such a liar, though. He's not your favorite protagonist.
No. I'll say it because he's. I think he's got so much more character than what people let on, and I've kind of been into, like, his story throughout all this, even though it's not really much of one. He doesn't have an origin movie storyline. He's kind of just been a side character the entire time, except for his, you know, his show, which,
yeah.
Honestly, him in the show is great. Like, you care about this guy. They write dumb stuff for him, and they throw all this other stuff at him that, like...
If it wasn't for his show, I don't know if you could call him a protagonist, though. Because he's not, like, a main protagonist. Not that...
He's an Avenger.
I know, but
in the Avengers, he is a protagonist.
When I'm saying protagonist, I mean like the main good character of a movie or show is what I think of.
Well, I mean, well, he's got a show where he's the main character,
right? That's why I said if it wasn't for his show,
well, guess what? He may only pass with like a 71.
What a weird pick.
Passes.
What a weird pick. Because I feel like for him, like I feel like we should have had more. I wish we went a little more in depth. There's a lot of stuff that they talked about, like especially in Avengers 2, where his wife is saying that, you know, they need you because you're amongst all these superheroes and gods and stuff, but they need you to, like, humanize them, bring them back down to Earth, and actually, like, make them truly understand what they're fighting for kind of thing. Which is great, and I do like some of the character development he has there, but it's more talked about than... It's a little more talked about than shown. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm trying to, like...
Well, here's the thing. If I'm going to pick one person, it's like I'm going to think of the one who's the most relevant in my mind right now, the one who I'm most hyped up about, and it's probably going to be Star-Lord because we recently just...
Oh, really? I thought you'd say Iron Man.
Yeah, but I don't know. I kind of just don't want to talk about him.
No, I get it.
You know what I mean? And I think the fact that no one really talks about Hawkeye that much or throughout this entire thing until his show came out... is why I want to talk about him.
Yeah.
Because, like, even though he has, like, a lot of, I guess, not maybe a lot, but he has some quirky moments because it's, like, they make him seem to be extremely superhuman in some of the stuff he does. But that's the thing is, like, he's just human.
Yeah.
And he's having to keep up with all this stuff. Like, if you watch, like, and this has probably been talked about a million times. I have no idea. In the Battle of New York in 2012... Dude runs out of arrows, and he's like, that's literally all he's got. And he's having to keep up pace and do, like, hand-to-hand combat with a freaking bow, which is not a melee weapon, fighting off all these characters and doing all this stuff. And I'm like, if you really think about it, and this is not a realistic world, but if you think about it in the realistic sense, like, this dude is kicking some serious ass.
But is it dumb that he's kicking so much ass? Does it make sense?
I don't know. Like, Natasha has guns.
I will say, to be fair, I know a lot of people are like, oh, he shouldn't. It's so unrealistic. He shouldn't be able to. I disagree.
There's a guy with a suit that flies. I think I can get over it.
Well, it's not just that. Because a guy with a suit that flies makes sense in this world where all this crazy stuff is happening. But I'm saying, like, they're saying Hawkeye should not be able to keep up. But the way they portray him, I think they do a very good job with making us believe that he is keeping up with them. Mm-hmm. And I like the line in Avengers 2 where he's talking to Wanda and he's like, we're on a flying city in the sky. I'm a guy with a bow and arrows.
I'm a guy with a bow and arrow.
None of this makes any sense.
Yeah.
And we're fighting a bunch of robots. None of this makes any sense. He's like, but none of that matters right now. You have to get your stuff together. The second you walk out that door, you're an Avenger. That whole speech I really enjoy.
And the thing is, it's like, you have these leaders, like, as much as you don't want to say, I don't want to say it, Iron Man, he is a leader of sorts, you know, obviously he's if you think of the big two, it's going to be him and Captain America are leading the Avengers. They've got Cap, they've got him, and then you've got Nick Fury, but, like, if any one of those people had that conversation, I could see maybe Cap doing it because he is very tenderhearted, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
No one else could have convinced her, I think. You know, no one else could have really gotten in touch with her, could have related to her, could have built that bridge to make her fight and to make her be part of the team. You know, and I think it was only him. And I think that I like him so much. He's got a charisma that's like,
maybe it's
just I want him to be my dad or something.
That's fucking weird. this podcast is taking a turn. What I like, though, or what I want to see more of, actually, is, like, I like characters that I do find, not that every character has to do this, but when characters make certain decisions and go down kind of a darker path and then get redeemed, like, that's always fun, right? Mm-hmm. When we see Hawkeye as Ronin,
right,
dude, in Endgame, I want a Ronin show.
He's defeated.
Yeah,
that's
but
what
that,
would have
like,
been better
so
than
Hawkeye. It's
so
surface level. It's like, yeah, I've done bad things because this and this. You do get that sense because at the very beginning of Endgame, it's so powerful when you see him lose his family that like you mm-hmm. do understand why he's doing it. But man, I would have liked to see more of it.
That's
because
what a lot
that
of people...
would have really. Then I'd be like, you're right. Like, that guy's awesome.
A lot of people had issues with Hawkeye, the show, because they were really hoping that it was going to dive into what happened while he was Ronin, what turned him into Ronin, what kind of evolved him into that, him hanging out at the tattoo parlor and then going getting to the barbershop to get his haircut.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to see it.
No, but like that's the big change into that was great. Would have been great, sorry, if you were able to see that transpire and kind of see him finally crack. Because I know that there's this storyline between him and Black Widow that, again, we still don't know, I think. Oh, wait. Did they talk about that in the Black Widow movie?
What?
I'm trying to remember if they...
Yeah, he...
That's right. They
he
did
helped
talk about
her...
It.
He was basically sent to kill her.
Yeah. And
but
then
he made a different call.
Yeah.
And he helped her with the whole thing in...
which, honestly, I think...
Budapest.
That was poorly done. I think that moment should have been a lot more than what it was. Thank you for reminding me because it was so forgettable that I forgot.
So I want to do a couple honorable mentions real quick. Captain America is obviously an honorable mention, but I don't want, like you, I was like, we got to get a little more interesting and dive into the characters. Like, everyone knows why he's a good protagonist, right? Yeah. His story arc throughout the whole thing and whatever. I don't really want to touch a lot on it. He's fantastic. Amazing. You see him go through so many different changes and have to cope with them, especially in Winter Soldier, blah 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 blah. Another really good honorable mention is, I'm going to touch on him a little more, Star-Lord, especially after seeing Guardians 3. I've seen that movie 3 times now. I think it gets better with every watch, from my opinion.
Good.
And seeing him at the very beginning, all like the first movie to the very end, seeing how he deals with Gamora, and I talked about this when we talked about that episode of Volume 3. I like that they just didn't end it to where, oh, they're back together, and like she's learning to love him again. Everything is peachy and fine. It's like, no, she's different. She's not the same person. You really get to see him dealing with grief in this movie and how he is so burdened by her death and grieving her loss. And throughout the whole movie, he's basically kind of trying to win her back over, right? And then, but by the end of it, you see that she's like, you know, I'm still not who you want me to be. And he's like, I know, and that's okay. He's accepted it and moved on. And it's so powerful to me when you have this hero. Again, in these superhero movies, and you'll hear this when I talk about my favorite character, it's really how they deal with all their personal stuff balanced with being a badass superhero. That makes it very interesting to me.
Yeah, and he is surprising to me because he is somebody who is considered a goofy guy.
Yeah.
But he holds so much weight.
Yeah.
When he is intimate and...
Dude, when he was screaming at Rocket's death,
himself, yeah,
Rocket almost died.
Like, he does more of that than more than half of the MCU's protagonists.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's in the top, like, 5 people of, you know, someone who shows emotion about things.
Yeah. I will say what you talked about, trying to figure out what makes good protagonists. And the reason you chose Hawkeye, the reason he spoke to you, which is the same reason I'm talking about everyone I'm talking about, to me, I think one of the top, maybe the number one aspect of having a good protagonist is relatability. You have to be able to relate to them. That's why
it's because I'm a dad now and he's got kids. No.
But like, that's why Star-Lord is like, I've loved somebody and had to move on. Sucks. Yeah. And like, you feel that it's like, oh, it's relatability is huge.
Yeah. And I think the moments that they are the most relatable, I think, is when they have this big loss. When I know it's not your favorite Guardians movie, but like when he finds out that his dad killed his mom and stuff, you know, it's crazy. And it's earth shattering for him. When he loses his mom, it's earth shattering. When he has the power stone and see like his visioning his mom and actually.
Oh, dude, I tear up every like, time. Oh, it's in that first movie.
That golly, that movie is done so well in that. That scene knocks it out of the freaking park. But it's like when those things happen, when Hawkeye is, you know, trying to keep up with his family and still do all this other stuff, and you like you see him like in the Hawkeye show, like you see the fact that he hurts himself and like you need to put ice on it, you need to whatever, like doing all that stuff with Kate Bishop. Yeah. As funny as it is, it's like
it's relatable.
It's like fucking this guy is literally got what seems like the physical weight of the world on his shoulder sometimes.
Which is why I get into my favorite of all time. No one has to guess. It's Spider-Man.
Spider-Man
slash just as, if not more important, Peter Parker.
And
same two and sides to the same coin.
And you're saying throughout all his iterations.
Yes. So talking about relatability, talking about the same thing when it comes to Star-Lord, seeing them go through all these suffering through all these things, but still telling yourself you can get up and still be a hero. Because with Star-Lord, it was like, oh, I've loved somebody and had to let them go.
Yeah.
And now that that's happened, it's like, oh, he's dealing with that, but he's still a badass superhero.
Yeah.
Spider-Man does that more than anyone else. And it's, dude, the emotions I feel in Spider-Man movies doesn't compare to any other superhero movie. Maybe Endgame, just because we had so much, you know, time spent. But if you're taking the culmination of all Spider-Man movies and the amount of times I cry every time I've seen No Way Home, and I know I'm gonna sound like a little bitch.
Which part?
Five times I cry.
Aunt May.
Every time, five times. That is one of them. But it's the classic, with great power comes great responsibility, which is the issue that I have with Across the Spider-Verse.
I cry when he says, "I'm something of a scientist myself."
That's great. But the fact that first of all, he's very relatable. He is made to be one, in my opinion, one of the most relatable superheroes out there. He's going through school. I mean, yeah, we're older now, so we're not doing that. But like, you see him dealing with what you dealt with as you grew up, trying to balance the simple things like school and work and his love life and his family while also being Spider-Man. And you see how that affects him. But still, through all of that, he still decides, hey, I still need to protect the people of the city and protect the ones that I love. Right. At no matter what cost, that is who Spider-Man is. He's, and again, in No Way Home, it's when Tobey Maguire says, we have to save all of them. We got to save everyone, right? And he looks at Tom Holland because you know that Tom doesn't want to save Green Goblin because he killed MA.
Right.
So that to me is like, it's just, I've been through some dark parts of my life where it's like, not to get like super dark, but just like bad parts of my life where I'm like, man, I'm lazy. I'm a piece of shit. I'm not getting things done in my life. And I just feel like I'm not getting anywhere. And I feel sad. I feel depressed. And it seems like things are just not working out for me. And that actually happened recently. And for some reason, it's going to sound so fucking cliche and stupid. Literally, the thought in my head popped in. I said, maybe that's why I like Spider-Man so much. And I already knew that. But literally, as I'm sitting there, like, just like being a sad little bitch, like,
jeez.
That's how important that character is to me. Because I thought of him in this time where I'm like, dude, this guy has dealt with so much stuff. And he goes, yeah, I got to keep going. I have to keep going.
I think if you ever get a tattoo, you should get a Spider-Man tattoo.
That would be great. That if I ever did get one, that's probably what it would be.
Yes.
But it's just, to me, he relates so perfectly to my life because you see all the crazy mundane things. And I don't see that with a lot of other superheroes. Now, I see it with other superheroes and how it affects their life, especially during the Infinity Saga of the MCU. Mm-hmm. We see how it affects them. But we haven't seen that as far as like Secret Identity goes. The MCU kind of got rid of secret identities.
Yeah,
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And I was like, since they got rid of them, please, now that you're introducing Spider-Man, don't also figure out a way to get rid of that too.
Yeah, because
with him.
He has to juggle the mundane. He has to juggle the teenage. Yeah, he has to juggle like these aspects of life that like he's thrown into a world where there's millionaires, there's war heroes, there's, you know, brainiac scientists that turn into green men.
Yeah.
He's dealing with all these people in the spotlight, and I think the MCU really does a good job of separating him
yeah.
from the rest. And that's like that holds a lot. There's a lot of weight in that and value into the person he is and trying to be. And
it's just
and
so
and not to mention like the stress you have to be somebody juggling that. Are you nuts?
It's so inspiring to me to see someone who is so, I know he's a superhero who has superpowers, but is so regular. Like Spider-Man is supposed to be the everyday guy, and he's dealing with the loss of his loved ones. You have Uncle Ben, you have Gwen Stacy, and it's like, that's why Amazing Spider-Man 2 for me is one of my favorite Spider-Man movies, subjectively, even though I know objectively has so many problems, because it's so, their relationship is so palpable, and then when he loses her, Andrew Garfield is such a fantastic actor that it rips my heart out.
Yeah, it's
the first movie, no joke, when somebody died, and I felt it for 2 days.
Oh,
I don't know. That sounds so dumb. That sounds cliche. I kid you not, I was fucked up for 2 days.
Well,
I couldn't get this pit feeling out of my stomach because Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone, their performance in that death scene affected me so much. I could not stop thinking about it.
Yeah, I believe she was dead too. No, but like, and it's weird that you say that because I've also always thought that the emotional impact of Uncle Ben and then the emotional impact of Gwen Stacy.
Yeah.
Those deaths were very different. And as important as Uncle Ben's death was, Gwen was way more important and really like a thing that kind of, you know, how the movie ends in Amazing Spider-Man 2 and he's back.
Yeah. But because it's like Uncle Ben inspired him. The Uncle Ben death inspired him to become Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Gwen Stacy's death hurt him so bad he stopped being Spider-Man and then it ignited him to be a better Spider-Man after. Yeah.
It's like,
dude, I could talk about Spider-Man.
It's
for
like
hours.
Uncle Ben.
It's so
Uncle
deep.
Ben made him fight crime, but Gwen made him be the Spider-Man he was meant to be. Kind of like
I love Peter Parker.
Same thing with MCU, I guess. Like Ben was the one who made him start fighting crime, but in the way you said before, when Aunt May died, that's what made him become Spider-Man.
Yeah. When I see any superhero that's like, I want to be like you, not just because of your powers, but because of the adversity you face and how you handle it, it's just no one compares to me except to Spider-Man. It just doesn't. It's like you... And I'm trying to think... Now I'm trying to switch gears back into the... I'm just gushing about how much I love how gay I am for Peter Parker.
You want his penis, Parker.
But, why is he such a good protagonist? And the biggest thing I come back to is relatability. Mm-hmm. But it also depends on, I was going to say how you write the character, but that's everything we're talking about is how do you write a good character, right? But I haven't seen a horrible iteration of Spider-Man where they've written him. This is just praise be to the writers who have happened to get the scripts. Have we been lucky enough to work on these projects, right? You might have bad characters in Spider-Man movies or some weird situations maybe he goes through, but I haven't seen
like a black
them
suit.
Do like a, sorry, Chris Hemsworth, a Thor 4, where they just shit on his character, make him really dumb. Like Spider-Man in most movies has made the Spider-Man choice, has made the Peter Parker choice, and has dealt with that. He's made
the sacrifice.
Yeah, and I think what makes a good protagonist is balance between I don't want to see somebody who's just depressed all the time, but at the same time I don't want to see someone that's just happy-go-lucky all the time that nothing's wrong. But Spider-Man is a funny character, but he's also like one of the darkest characters, and that's why I've always said you have to make me feel something when I go to a movie. You have to make me feel something, and I want to feel all ends of the spectrum, and Spider-Man does that. He makes me laugh. There's all this ridiculous stuff. He makes me think, dude, you're a badass because all the crazy stuff you're doing. But it also makes me real sad to see everything he goes through.
Yeah.
And he triumphs it.
See, and I think one of the coolest things that Spider-Man does through cartoons, through previous iterations in film, is his dark side of things and when he kind of loses it. And I guess like one of the big, you know, canon events is Symbiote and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think I'm glad that we never saw Amazing Spider-Man Symbiote because I don't know if that world could pull it off well.
But if we ever see Amazing Spider-Man 3, I want to see it.
Yeah.
He talked about how after she died in No Way Home, he was like, I went dark.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm trying to save you from becoming what I was, basically.
I think, I just think the MCU needs to.
It's so heart wrenching, dude. Oh,
I think if they do the symbiote, I think they will be the ones to do it right. In
MCU? Not,
yeah.
Interesting.
I think so. Because, I don't know.
They did No Way Home good. I think, you know they're going to do it. They left Venom in the last No Way Home.
Yeah.
We should move on from superhero.
We should move on from
superhero. So, that's our little superhero rant.
Yeah. Yours was cooler than mine.
I just, dude, I could talk. I have so much knowledge on Spider-Man.
Mine,
I
just thought of, like, literally.
But I do like that. Like, I went a little.
Before you got here.
I went a little stereotypical. Of course, everyone knew I was going to say Spider-Man. But I like that you, like, picked somebody that we could try to pick apart what we did like.
I think it's just because he's somebody that I've just been more interested in. And the same way you are you're relating to him.
Yeah.
I relate to this guy. Like, yeah, he has had loss.
Yeah.
The whole Soul Stone thing was
yeah.
You know, but anyways, we'll get on to the next one. All right, so the next ones we have are not superheroes, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, let's go. I'm like, let's rewind time a little bit. Let's do a character that I watched as a kid, and when I rewatched as an adult, been like, man, I like him for so many more different reasons now. And believe it or not, this is childish, but you said you saw Hook, right?
Yeah.
Robin Williams, Peter Pan. And I think, I think because...
I haven't seen it in a long time.
Oh, it's weird. It is very weird. Like, it's almost like a dark fantasy film, like, yeah, looking back at it now. So, obviously, it's the movie is set in a world of... post all the things that happened in Peter Pan. Peter Pan decides, you know, generations later, he's going to come back and finally grow up because he falls in love. So he does that. And upon doing that, he loses all memory and recollection of Neverland. So Hook, years later, Peter Pan has...
This sounds like such a good concept. I forgot that was the whole concept because I haven't seen it in so
I know.
Long. Like,
yeah.
I need to rewatch
That's
this
the thing
film.
I didn't really understand as a child when I first watched
That's
it. It was
thing
all the
too,
complex
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
Anyways, like, he's a business mogul. He's just a guy with a family. He's got two kids. He works a 9 to freaking 8. And he's
See,
always...
See, this is how you redo movies. This is smart because, like, now they're just trying to, like, make live action versions or reboot it or just do it again. It's like, make a weird offshoot, like, hey, what if he fell in love and decided to leave and grow up and then come back? That's how you reinvigorate a similar storyline.
I think that's why, for a while, me and my wife were into that this show, Once Upon a Time, where they took, like, all these, like, things, like fairy tale things and made them, like, what happens if they're in the real world, forget who they are and live lives. Anyways. And he. All of a sudden, Hook is in Neverland, and he remembers, and he finds a way to get to the real world and kidnaps his kids, and he has to go back to Neverland, and he's this guy who's sacrificing the time with his family to work. He is becoming the entire thing that Peter Pan is against. And the whole concept of Peter Pan is don't be an adult. Adults don't know what fun is. They don't know how to live their lives. They don't know how to be carefree. They just want to work all day, and they don't want to live in the moment. So he's gotten rid of that, and he's really losing his relationship with his kids. Like, there's issues in the family. He's yelling at his kids. He's doing all this stuff. And then his kids get taken, and they find out it's Hook that took him. And so he has to go through this whole thing to get him back. And the entire time, he's like, I'm not this person. I am not Peter Pan. You're a bunch of losers. Like, the Lost Boys are, like, trying to convince him. He's like, hey, you are him, but you're old and fat now. It's all this
I
great
really
stuff.
Need to rewatch this movie.
Dude, it is so charming. It is so,
so
charming.
What about him makes him a good protagonist?
I think it's because he was someone who felt, I guess, would be like the fallen from grace kind of storyline. Mm. He used to be what's considered the perfect hero of the story, like the ultimate good guy. And he's become the thing he hated the most.
Yeah.
He's become the entire thing he stood against. He had kids, he did whatever, and he had to go to Neverland to save them, make all these hard decisions, and then finally accept, I was this person.
Right.
How do I become this person? and he goes through this whole montage. Let's do the montage thing, and yeah. He does that, and he finally figures out like what his happy thoughts are, and he's like, oh, like you're familiar with the whole happy thoughts make you fly with pixie dust, right?
Yeah.
So he figures out what his happy thought was, and was his dad. As like that was the thing when he was a toddler or a baby that came to yeah. Neverland, that was the thing that made him happy and made him learn how to fly, and he forgot that's what his happy thought was, and he just kept flying, and then he forgot his happy thought. And then now that he's older and he's an adult, he's like, I know what my happy thought is. It's my children.
Yeah, you picked both your characters because you're a dad now.
Oh gosh, no. But it's just this cool tale because his son starts to forget who his family is and he wins him back, and it's just an awesome tale. And I think you should rewatch it.
Oh, I
it's,
will.
It's definitely it hits different as an adult, and as a father. Oh my
God. Well, yeah. You're hitting on something that I actually wrote down here, thinking about all the characters that I have, especially like the not. Well, this includes the same with the Marvel ones, but. Is that it needs, and this seems very class or very simple, but needs a good hero's journey. Mm-hmm. And the bigger, you need a good character arc, but it's almost like I wrote down, the bigger the arc, the better, but it needs to be deserved. Mm-hmm. Because how deep can you get a character to go and still be able to bring them back? The deeper you can get them, but still be able to bring them back, the better, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So you don't want to bring them so far down that it's like completely against character where there's no returning at all, but you got to get them as close to that as possible, I feel like.
You got
to
get them, you know, half of their limbs chopped off, get them burnt to a crisp, put them on a black robot suit, make them start breathing like this, put a red laser sword in their hands, and then they can redeem themselves.
You know, you can't say that Darth Vader might be, he's considered one of the best villains of all time, so maybe he is one of the best protagonists of all time, because he kind of is a protagonist.
And you know why
of
I relate
Star
to him
Wars
so much?
Saga. Why?
He's a father.
Anyways, so let me start with a couple honorable mentions here. Mm-hmm. The movie Burnt. Have you seen it?
Burnt. Sounds familiar.
No. Burnt.
Yeah,
like
so I said
burnt. To a crisp. Is that what you
my
said?
My southern drawl.
Oh, it sounded like
I don't know. I might have said Burt.
I know you said
Burt. Burt. Hey, Burt.
Burt and Ernie. Hey, Burt. Burnt. So it is burnt. With, my goodness, Bradley Cooper, and he's a chef. His character's name is Adam Jones. He's a chef who has fallen from grace. Made some not great decisions, basically got run out of, I think, France or whatever, and whatever. Because of, like, some bad reviews, and he was kind of crazy because he's so obsessed with food. And it's very, almost Gordon Ramsay-esque, sort of. I took culinary classes. The kitchen is a very intense place. My chef was very intense. And it's kind of exciting.
Did you have to call him chef?
Her, but her. Yes.
Yes, chef.
Of course. Yeah, you say yes, chef, for sure.
What are you? I'm an idiot sandwich.
But so he's a very intense guy who's all about I have. And I really liked what he said in this. It's kind of a nerdy quote for me as far as like being like a foodie, because I love cooking food. And it's like I just love the sensations of tasting. And he says, I don't want people to come to my food or come to my restaurant to eat good food. It's something along those lines. Like, I don't want someone to come to my restaurant and eat good food. I want them to leave and be sick with longing. Because
that's, oh my gosh,
that's
gonna make
is.
Me throw up.
It's such a cheesy line, but the way he says it is a lot better. But he basically has this whole spiel about how passionate he is about food and making food, and it's like such an emotional experience where he's like, I want people to eat this and like, I want them to be moved by this food.
Yeah, okay.
And
like Ratatouille.
Yeah, dude, I love Ratatouille. I thought of putting Remy down as one of my characters.
He's a fucking rat. I just thought of like Danny DeVito, like being in the sequel.
There was a rat in here.
So
get the rat.
But he's messed up.
That was almost Joe Pesci.
I don't think... Did he hit? He, like, shoved or hit the other lady in this movie, who's the other main character, who's also, like, a love interest to him. And she's like, oh, you're a douchebag. But he ends up like hitting her or pushing her or doing something egregious that's like, you're pretty much irredeemable after this.
Worse
right?
than Spider-Man 3.
That's like the hardest part of the movie where it's like, you're
over the line.
This is why he's like honorable mention, because he goes a little too far. But at the end, it's the big character arc, at least, because at the end, he's so worried. The whole point of this is he's trying to get his third Michelin star. And by the end of it, I don't want to spoil anything for you, but basically the idea of the ending is it doesn't really matter if they get the star or not. At the end of the movie, he basically gets to a point where they're like, oh shit, the food critic's here, because they're just waiting for him to come in, and they're like, we think he's here. They never announce themselves, but there's certain signs where you can kind of tell. And the waiter comes in, talks to Bradley Cooper, main character, and goes, we think this is the food critic. And he looks up, and every other time he's like freaking out and whatever, but he goes, we do what we do. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and it's like this almost family type thing where it's family. Like, we're in the kitchen, we're together, we know what we're doing, and we're gonna, anyways, it's a very big shift in this character. He's an honorable mention. I already took too much time talking about him. Let's see who else I have down here. Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Honorable mention, just because he's a badass. I love Indiana Jones.
See, that's, and we talked about this beforehand. He is just like how I want to say Marty McFly is, because of the adventure that he goes on and the things that happen make me want to say him.
I'm not trying to say there's no character development. Specifically in like the third one, The Last Crusade, I think there's more character development between him and his dad, and they kind of bond and all this kind of stuff. But I just want to say that there's less than other characters that I can think of as far as he's just awesome throughout, right? Yeah. I feel like there's not as much kind of roller coaster up and down that I...
No matter what, at the end, he wins.
I love Indiana Jones. Let's see.
John Williams, I love you.
I wanted to mention this, MCU. I put Thanos as an honorable mention.
Ooh.
He's a weird in-between.
He's an anti-hero.
Because in... I don't know if he's an anti-hero.
Yeah, he wants to kill people so that the... So the universe will prosper.
I would say he's a villain, but in Infinity War, he is the protagonist.
Yeah.
Anyways.
That's why I say he's an anti-hero.
He's interesting because you understand where he's coming from.
He's trying to save people by killing people.
The problem is he doesn't have a good arc, because you understand where he's coming from, but he never returns. He never finishes as a hero.
The first half of his arc is all him in a chair.
Even mean like when he talks about his backstory, he grew up on Titan, whatever. I almost chose this as like the main one to talk about. Andrew Neiman in Whiplash.
Yeah.
Now, this character, near and dear to my heart, because Whiplash is one of my favorite movies of all time. The problem is that the end of this movie, he definitely kind of stands up to Terrence Fletcher and breaks through to become kind of the best drummer that he can, because Terrence Fletcher is just abusing him basically throughout the whole thing. And Fletcher kind of admits like, yeah, I was kind of just trying to push you this whole time. Like, the worst thing you can tell somebody is no. The worst words in the English language is good job. I don't know why I said no. I meant good job. And so to basically push him to be the best he can be. The problem is that I like that this is like a pursue your dreams kind of no matter what cost. But I think I read something or was told that the look that Andrew Neiman's father gives when he sees Andrew go back on stage to perform even after being kind of slapped around or whatever is almost like a look of, I can't believe my son has gone this crazy and is willing to go through all this torture to still pursue his dreams. So it's like, it's an interesting study of like, what is too far to pursue your dreams?
Right.
So I don't know if Andrew's a little bit crazy, but I love the development of, he was this good guy, went a little crazy, brought it back, and kind of apologized to his ex-girlfriend that he was a complete and utter dick to, and then still showed up Terrence Fletcher at the end of it. Now you can debate, is he crazy? Did he go too far? But I love that debate because the character portrays it so well. I'll move on.
Got any
the
more?
Main one that I was going to talk about which I'm probably going to just end up talking about it the same amount I talked about the others. You've seen La La Land? You haven't seen La La Land?
No, I haven't.
Do you care if I spoil it?
You can spoil it. I mean, it's been one I've been told to watch so many times.
It's in my top five.
I've just never been around to watching
it. It's in my top five favorite movies. I'll try to be as non-spoilery as I can. Sebastian, who is played by Ryan Gosling, opposite of Emma Stone, spoke to me as one of my favorite protagonists, which is kind of an out there one I don't think people would think I would talk about. And mainly, it's because of relatability. They have this relationship in this movie that feels so relatable, where there's this honeymoon phase and things are going so well, but then things aren't going well. And there's all this just emotion and turmoil and like, will they, won't they? And romantic moments that you think of in your life when you first get with somebody that you'll always remember. And it's like it portrays it in such a way that makes you love both these characters. So you could honestly argue that both of them are great protagonists because they're both protagonists, the guy and the girl. I just picked him because I can relate to him more because he's a dude. And I will say, without trying to spoil, the ending of the movie is not what you expect. It's kind of bittersweet, but it is so relatable.
Do people die?
I'm not telling you anything.
Well, I'll just look it up on my phone right
now.
You
suck.
All right, I'm looking it up.
But it is so relatable because most stories that go the way La La Land is going, this kind of love story, this kind of where you kind of see the story going, I don't think it necessarily goes there.
Yeah.
But there is a sequence at the end of this movie that kind of plays out almost an alternative ending. And it really makes you think. And I like these movies that really stir up your emotions and make you think, especially through the eyes of a character, which strengthens the protagonist because they're making you feel a certain way based on the way they're thinking. And it is so artistically and well done, and it makes you kind of rips your heart out. It's just, La La Land is beautiful to me, and it's because of those characters. Mm-hmm. And I guess the only thing I can relate to, I'm trying to think of another way to describe it, is relatability. But I'm also realizing, to add to the list of what makes a good protagonist, is honestly it's how the people want them to be seen, how the writers want you to view this person. And obviously, if there's a protagonist, you usually want them to be viewed in a positive light. But if the writer takes the time and the director takes the time to make them more nuanced and more interesting in the way that I think La La Land does, to where you almost see the inner thoughts of this person, you get even more attached to them. And they're showing you that they want you to see them in a certain light, even if things don't necessarily work out the way that is expected and might be a bad thing. That's so cryptic because I don't want to spoil it.
But no, I got you.
I love that movie and the relationship in that movie.
You want to know something really funny?
So,
I had some more honorable mentions, but like I kind of like decided not to talk about them because again they're dads.
Please feel free to talk about them because I literally listed five and went off on a 20-minute rant by myself, cool. And I want to shut up.
Like one of them I was going to say was like Hugh Jackman in the Greatest Showman. Like that's mine and my wife's favorite movie together. And
what's the lesson they learn in that movie?
When you have sex, you have kids. No.
No.
It's family.
Yes. It's all everything that I wanted was right in front of me the whole time.
Yep.
His family.
Everything you ever want. It's everything you ever need.
From now on, right here my eyes will not be blinded by the light.
Yeah. Yep. It's all in the songs. Also, like, that was the first time I ever been like, that's a good musical.
That's watch La La Land. I want to know if you like it.
Yeah. But yeah, that was like, I was like, dang, it's another dad thing. I'm not even going to mention it. He already mentioned something about me liking dad movies. But yeah, I mean, I don't really.
You don't want to talk about anymore.
I mean, we don't have to talk about it.
Okay. So here's the list I compiled. Or no, you go first. What do you think? What are attributes that make a good or perfect protagonist?
I think the whole hero's journey thing, as cheesy as it is, as overdone as it is, it's true. I think, honestly, a perfect protagonist to me is somebody who has fallen from something, who was at a standard, was at a position, lost that, and needs to gain it back.
Redemption arcs.
Redemption arcs is my biggest one.
I forgot to mention Maverick. I think it's just 'cause Top Gun Maverick. Sorry. Honorable mention, but move on.
But like, because I think when you hit those moments where the achievement is there and they've reached that new point, they've reached that next level, they've gotten the thing that they've desired and learned something about it, whether it is that the thing I really wanted or not, or
yeah,
my life is now complete, roll credits.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's the good feeling.
Yeah.
It's that warm and toasty on the inside that, like, I fall for that every single time. So much so that I will completely ignore all the bad stuff in a movie that really make it a terrible movie if it's done right.
No Way Home, baby. No Way Home is not perfect, but I rate it a 10 out of 10 because subjectively that character is portrayed so well three times that all the other dumb stuff that happens, I'm like, who cares? This movie's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, I'll quickly go through my list of what I have culminated throughout talking. Relatability is maybe the biggest thing, right? They have to be relatable. I said a balance between the things that they make you feel, right? So, I said balance of badass, happy, and sad. And I just mean that I need movies that need to make me feel things, but I need them to make me feel things specifically through the characters and their actions for the protagonist to be strong, right? So that's why I love Spider-Man and also thinking of Sebastian from La La Land, it's like you have these funny moments, you have these happy moments, you have these sad moments, and you get all of them through that relatability of that character and that balance. And then a big character arc that, again, the bigger it is, the better, but it has to be deserved because I've seen so many movies where it's like, oh, we're supposed to love this person now for no reason. And it just destroys the character. So that's the biggest character destruction, I think, for me is like not deserving where they're going. And then the last thing is all up to a lot of things like the directors and writers, editors, is how they portray them. Like you can have a piece of music behind a character doing something that's going to make them seem cooler. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, God, dude, the Prowler in Into the Spider-Verse, his music. God damn, dude. It's so good. It's so good.
Yeah. It's like, it's theatrical.
Yeah. The more you pay attention to the nuanced things that you don't think matter and to flesh out that character, you just got to spend time fleshing them out.
Yeah. You have to invest. You have to really make it, you have to sell it in a way that is not only just like art creative and artistically done, but something that makes sense, that affects the audience in a way that is emotional, psychological, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think that's probably every, you know, filmmaker's goal.
And that's the problem I have with WandaVision is the character arc is not deserved, and then the way they try to make her feel, they make you feel a certain way about Wanda that is so undeserved that makes it worse to me. All those things have to happen. Because if they're trying to make you feel a certain way but they don't deserve it, doesn't matter. If they try to make you feel a certain way and they went through a character arc but it's not relatable, who cares? That's the thing, is you kind of have to hit all these points or you're gonna drop a lot of points.
Right.
So
yeah,
they all depend on each other.
And I think those are the things that probably make you have that warm, toasty feeling that I like.
Yeah, even if the movie ends bad, it's like, but I love this character.
Yeah,
and I feel for them.
I have that. And this is probably the last movie I'll mention. Like, really not a good movie. Probably Bruce Almighty. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but like you gotta understand, like his whole thing in it is like finding out what's important to him and stuff and not really caring about, like, you're gonna have like bad things happen to you, but it's like what's the most important things to you. It's not necessarily family, it's a woman.
Honestly, but I forgot to mention probably my favorite protagonist ever is Dom Toretto from Fast and Furious, because there's only one thing that his makes family. A good protagonist that he masters: family.
That is it, man. That's it. Also, like,
why do you think our podcast is called That's Movies, Brother?
And also, you gotta
understand, he's influenced everything we do.
You can't worry about your job, none of that stuff. What you gotta live your life 1/4 mile at a time. For that 8 seconds or less, you're free.
Honestly, I don't think there's a better way to end this podcast than just like that.
That's right.
Thanks for going on this hero's journey with us, guys.
Thank you.
And
it's been a trip.
That's been Movies, Brother. Peace out, guys.